Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:10, and well, you know, look, the Cubs won, the Hawks won, then the Cubs lost, and the Bears lost. Let's call it a split.
Well, the Cats won.
Cats won huge.
Yeah.
I enjoyed listening to Dave Ennett. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but the Cats just scored again just seconds ago against Michigan State.
Yeah.
Crazy game. So overall, I rank it a pretty good sports weekend. Paul Conrad is standing by, and Paul Conrad, of course, is a weather guru at Channel 9 and a sex symbol. You want to play his music?
Yeah.
You're familiar with surrogates, of course. Surrogates like the surrogates for Trump and the surrogates for Hillary.
Yeah.
Paul Conrad is a surrogate for this company, Tribune Media.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
so,
I just need a quick clarification. It's international sex symbol, not just sex symbol.
What did I say? Just sex symbol?
You just said sex symbol.
International
is
fair.
I just want to, because the lawyers get involved and all that.
I understand. How was your weekend?
Nice, yeah, very nice.
What, did you do anything fun?
No. Not really.
All right. Okay.
Well, yeah, I watched that Cubs game, both of them, and the Bears game. I watched that.
Andre was at both games.
Really?
I was, yeah.
Were you reporting for TV?
No, I was there on my own volition, on my own dime.
How much did you spend on tickets?
A lot. You know what, though?
You bought tickets for both games?
I did. And I look at it this way. Well, actually, a friend of mine bought them for a Saturday, and I ended up paying her. And then the Sunday, yeah, I bought. So.
What'd you pay?
I paid a lot.
Well, a lot of different things to a lot of different
people. $500 a seat.
Oh, God, no. I don't have that kind of money.
$200 a seat.
A little bit more than that.
Well, it's not bad.
No, considering it was a playoff game. And you know what? Fine. I'm looking at it this way, and you guys will appreciate this because you both have children. I'm helping put the scalper's kids through college.
Oh, that's
there
nice.
You are.
But they weren't scalpers. You bought them online.
Yeah, they were
from
online.
From a legitimate scalping organization.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, right, yeah. I'm helping the children. Helping the kids.
Help of the kids.
That's right.
Yeah. But, you know, it was on TV.
I know, but just being... I'm glad I was there for the Saturday game. The Sunday game, I was like, why did I buy these tickets?
Well, it's a great game, though.
It was a great game.
Paul, what did you pay to watch the game at your house?
I didn't pay anything. I paid the price, though, of having four children trying to watch the game, and there's conversation. I'm doing homework and all this stuff, right? And I'm just like, I'd want to watch the game.
How much of the game did you actually see?
I'm going to say 74% of it.
Well, it's not bad.
Not bad at all.
No, it's not bad.
My algebra's gotten a lot better, though. I'll tell you that in the last month or so. I've really been coming around.
And we have exciting news. You know, we have the final presidential debate on Wednesday, and this is big news, and Paul didn't want me to announce this necessarily now.
Yeah.
But Paul is going to be doing a one-man play, The Life of Ken Bone, where he will be playing Ken Bone.
Yeah.
He's got a red sweater.
Yeah, it's a sock puppets.
Yes, there will be sock puppets involved. But this is a tribute to Ken Bone, the big star of last week's debate.
And it's mime also.
It ought to be.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be helpful. Hey, I do have one bone to pick with
you. Yeah, fire away.
So Friday morning.
Right.
Friday morning. You and I have been friends for a long time.
Oh, forever, yeah.
Right? I mean, you can depend on me.
Right, yeah.
You can depend on you.
Yeah.
You've got a friend in me. Remember that song we sang together?
Oh, yeah. The little song, little dance.
Remember the time I gave you one of my kidneys?
Yeah.
Remember that?
I've never forgotten, just so you know, and I've always been grateful to you for that.
All right, now you know my policy. Invite me to everything. I won't show up for much of anything.
Yeah.
So Friday morning, I see my friend Paul, my friend Dean doing a bald guy segment.
Oh, yeah.
With wigs.
Yeah.
Wasn't asked.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a limited set of skills, but I got bald covered, man.
Yeah. I do feel a little bit badly about
that. All I got to do is flip on a switch. There's a camera in the room.
Yeah. Ah, doggone it.
Never even think about it, did you?
No, I never
crossed your mind.
No, it didn't. Part of the problem, and I'm not making excuses, is that so much of this stuff, as I'm sure you can relate with, just kind of is a last minute. We've got to fill 2 minutes.
No.
And scramble and throw something together. So what I've been trying to do is send all my invitations by mail.
Uh-huh.
And so I put it in the mail, but it's written, so you'll probably get it today or tomorrow.
Oh, good. Well, I'm available Friday.
Okay. All right.
I mean, as in last Friday.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. You better go do the weather.
I got that squared away.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know I love you.
I love you, too.
And I'm always for you, and I'm always here. And you mean more to me than a lot of people understand.
All right, we're going to sing this out while Paul's late for TV.
You got a friend in me. Oh, yeah.
You got a friend in me. I'm not going to call for the bald segment.
When the road I put it in the mail.
Oh, that's right. It's in the mail. I forgot it's in the mail.
I've got a friend in me.
That's Paul Conrad live from Channel 9, where he's waiting for the Cubs sportscast to end so he can do his weather. If you turn on Channel 9 right now, you'll see Paul not calling me.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi. Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really.
What can you tell us about Barrett Jones, and is he ready if he needs to be?
Ready for what?
6:21, Dave.
Our conversation with Adam Hoag on the Bears is sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda.
Sorry to bring up the Bears, but somebody has to talk about it. Adam Hoag is here. So Saturday, were you at the Northwestern game?
Yes, I was.
So you saw this tremendous display of football on Saturday.
I saw a lot of points.
And on Sunday, you saw a team that probably couldn't beat Northwestern. The Bears found a new way to lose yesterday, which was, I was concerned in the post game that it could have killed OB.
Yeah. I was too.
Because it was as rank amateur as you could possibly have, where a receiver falls down and nobody touches him, and he gets up and runs in for a touchdown that turns out to be the game winner. What happened there?
Well, not only that, it was Aurelius Benn, former big-time Illinois recruit, turned not-so-great NFL player who hadn't scored a touchdown in 5 years, which is hard to believe. But the Bears allowed him to score there, and you know, part of it, I think, is that Soldier Field turf. It took both of them down. And unfortunately, one was able to get up and keep going. Tracy Porter got hurt on that play, the Bears' corner, and he was in a lot of pain coming off the field at the end of the game, needed help. Bears play Thursday night. I don't think they're going to have their number one corner in that game based on the way he walked off the field. So,
But having said all that,
yeah,
isn't there a basic understanding that starts with football, say, as a kid at 8, 9, 10 years old? You have to touch the guy even if he falls down on his own or the play's not over.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of – well, I mean, that's obvious. Probably
I don't know if it's obvious. The guy scored.
Well, yeah.
Team meeting, Adam.
But also, you blitz on that play. You send extra rushers, and you don't get home. So that's the first problem. That leaves you vulnerable on the back end. But you're right. Yeah, you touch the guy. When he catches the ball, there's so many problems. You want to give the Bears defense some credit for shutting out the Jaguars for three quarters, but they're the Jaguars, and you still gave it all up in the fourth quarter. So I don't even know that you can give the defense credit here. And again, it's the same problem as last week against the Colts. This game could have been over in the first half. The Bears could have put up a lot more points than they did. 911 yards offense the last 2 weeks, and only 39 points to show for it. It's just not a good display of offensive football, and I'm kind of tired of people talking about how efficient Brian Hoyer is.
Who cares?
In terms of yards to points, not efficient at all.
No, loss is a loss is a loss. I do have to say, however, that John Fox does remind me of Bill Belichick in that he has nothing to say to anyone of any substance. That, by the way, is where the comparison ends, because yeah, Belichick wins, and he figures out how to win with people that nobody's heard of. We got a lot of people that nobody's heard of. They don't seem to be winning.
And there were no hot dogs in the press box yesterday, which...
That figures.
Which is another problem.
Well, how could the Bears afford hot dogs?
Right.
They've got financial issues. All NFL teams do. Dave, do you have a question for Adam Hoag?
Well, more an observation.
All right, go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out when there was a worse or just a more frustrating loss than this. I mean, you can go back a couple of years to the Trestman era and those back-to-back games where they gave up over 50 points to the Packers and Patriots. But these weren't the Packers and Patriots they were playing yesterday. They were the Jacksonville Jaguars who had, I believe, Adam, what was the number? They lost like 20, four of their last 25 road games, something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, if you're going to go, think back to most frustrating losses, you know, those two games you mentioned were just really, really bad losses. Right. I don't know that they were frustrating because the Bears were out of it right away. I would think.
And I can't say I'm frustrated about yesterday. I expected them to lose.
Yeah, I picked the Jaguars too. I just don't trust the Bears. You know
what
I mean? Trust the
frustrated,
Bears.
You have to have some positive expectations. I wasn't frustrated. I was more amazed because I hadn't thought, of all the ways they could lose, how about not touching a guy who was down?
But I meant just a bad loss, a loss that really you feel like you hope you've hit rock bottom with this.
And the one I would point to in that same season 2 years ago, Dave, would be the loss to the Dolphins before those two blowouts.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was when the Bears were, I think, 3-2 or 3-3. They were right there. They came home. They were playing a bad Dolphins team, another Florida AFC team. And that was the one where Brandon Marshall went off on Robbie Gould after the game. If you remember that, the locker room blow up. And that's sort of where I think the locker room was lost that season, or at least the beginning of it. And it all spiraled downhill from there. Now, I still think John Fox has an okay grasp of this clubhouse. And, you know, Hampo being Cos wanted to ask me after the game whether or not I thought there's any chance John Fox would be fired. I don't see this going that direction. But, of course, I remember in 2014 saying the same thing this time of year. So.
And in 2014, after six games, the Bears were 3-3, not 1-5.
Exactly. I think the expectations are different here, and I also think that the organizational expectations, while they aren't really being clear with their fan base about that, I think they knew they weren't going to be very good this year. This was still part of a rebuilding year.
They understand it's not golf, right? Low score doesn't win in football.
I don't know. Maybe that's why they keep stalling out in the red zone.
Let me go live to Andre at Soldier Field.
There is a silver lining now, since I'm so close with the StubHub folks. $60 tickets for the November 27th game.
You don't.
The Bears will give me $60 to go?
Yes, exactly.
That seems like a decent number, but I got to get 100. I can't show up for less than 100.
There were 5,500 no-shows yesterday.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
And I know that the Cubs played last night, but the game was at 7, and the Bears game was at noon.
Yeah, on a beautiful day.
On a beautiful day. It wasn't sunny, but it was very warm for October.
Right.
And look, Thursday night, you're going up against the Cubs in the NLCS head-to-head. I mean, the ratings aren't going to be good for the Bears at all.
No, the ratings won't be good.
I have to give props to the Bears fans who tailgate, because they still tailgate in style. A friend of mine was there texting me pictures. They were having steak and lobster at their tailgate.
I don't know why you'd go in. You know what I mean?
Just stay in the parking lot.
Stay in the parking lot.
Surf and turf.
Why didn't you tell me? I should have,
Adam. I'm sorry. I'll text you next time.
Lobster? That sounds amazing.
They'd have loved to have you.
Adam, looking at the schedule, where do the Bears get a win? They've got Green Bay on Thursday. They get Minnesota. I mean, after the bye week, they go to Tampa Bay. You would hope somehow,
I don't like their chances.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. They do get San Francisco. Maybe that's the one. That could be a game with the serious draft implications when the 49ers come.
Well, the good news is Green Bay lost badly to Dallas yesterday.
They didn't look good.
Aaron Rodgers will be cranky, and the Packers will be cranky. So they'll come in here, and they'll probably put up 55 on the Bears.
You're right, actually, Steve, because that's what happens. Up there, they have a whole week, and this will be a short week for them, but they hear all these questions about how bad the offense is. This happens a few times a year with the Packers, and then Aaron Rodgers comes out mad, and he puts up 50.
Yeah. Apparently we got that to look forward to on Thursday.
They fumbled three times in that game, and he threw an interception. I mean, they clean that up. That's a little bit different game.
Maybe Tennessee at home on November 27th.
Tennessee looks pretty good, dude.
It's bad when you got to start looking at the schedule.
You know, we're talking about the Marcus Mariota era. Don't even question it. Adam, what are you writing about?
Basically how they reached a new low yesterday.
All right, read Adam's depressing new low blog.
Yep.
Where?
I'm trying to sell it. I can't. Hey, possible number one draft pick? Seriously though, they might go 3-13. That might be good enough.
Well, that's what I meant. That game of the 49ers,
they got to win two more to get to 3.
The game of the 49ers, they're both 1-5 at the moment.
Oh, it's just I'm tingly with excitement.
Instead of watching the Packers every week, watch the Cleveland Browns. It's a race for the worst record in football.
Let me tell you right now, the Browns are desperately trying to get the Bears on their schedule. thanks, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
Here's Dave.
Adam, sponsored by C.J. Wilson Mazda, now serving you in Countryside, Orland Park, and Lake Villa, online at ZoomZoomNation.com.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by...
I've got a stomach pain that's...
Northwestern Medicine, impact every day.
On my toe, and I need you now.
Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Nice start to the week. Good start. Like your attitude, all positive.
Absolutely. It's Monday. We're ready to roll.
All right, so a couple of things to jump into here. Let's start with the famous IBM computer Watson. What do you have to do with that?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes, not last night, but last week, and they just showed what Watson is starting to do in healthcare, and it's absolutely fascinating. And it's really, it could be a game changer as far as we look at some aspects of healthcare.
Some really intricate, complicated, cool stuff.
Oh, absolutely really cool stuff. I'll give you an example. When I finish this call, I go to something called Tumor Board. And what Tumor Board is we discuss cases for patients, new patients with cancer. And today happens to be Tumor Board for neurology. So we'll discuss brain cancer patients for the next hour. And you sit around this room and you have all these brilliant people, brilliant minds, and it's video conferenced in, and you talk about what are we going to do about this patient.
So you go over potential outcomes and procedures and what we have and what we can do, that kind of thing?
Yep. What trials are out there? What trials just finished? What chemotherapy should we use? What's the best thing?
Got it.
Now, when you're doing this, you have to remember that these are the individuals in this room, whatever is in their mind, whatever their knowledge base is. Watson takes it another step and says, you know what? Your doctors might be able to read 3,000 journals and clinical trials. I can read every one in the world. I can look at everything that's been done for brain cancer in a certain period of time. I can look at all of the images in brain cancer and tell you that when it looked like this in year one, this is what it was going to look wow. like in year five.
So you could have the entire database of brain cancer knowledge, and you input your patient stuff, and maybe you get an outcome you wouldn't have just from great doctors in the room.
Correct. You know, and the doctors are going to look at it and say, wow, this is great. They shouldn't feel bad about that. They should feel like we're using every part of data that we possibly can. We always say, did you look at the medical record? Well, looking at a medical record can be very difficult. There's so much data. It's not really organized well at times. Watson, in fact, can look at it, reorganize it, and come up with good suggestions. And I think that's, you know, just give you the example oncology. I think the more fascinating thing that's going to happen is what's going to happen with radiology and how we're going to read images and how we're going to be interpreting CAT scans and MRIs in the future.
So does every hospital need a Watson?
I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how Watson plays out to get commercialized. But let me put it for an example for you. A busy radiologist will read 20,000 images in a year.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. Watson can read 30 billion.
Wow.
So what they're teaching Watson right now is they're looking at all of these images, because IBM just bought a company that holds images, and it's teaching Watson to look at the image, look at the medical record, and look at the response. And they're teaching Watson what to look for in certain disease states. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating when you think about it. Someone comes into the emergency room. We do what we call a big pan CT because we're not sure. They're unconscious and we don't know what's going on. 4,000 images. It takes the doctor, a while to read that. Watson could read it immediately.
So what does that mean for future jobs in the medical business? Because if somebody, radiology not that long ago was an absolute must-get-into field because you guys are hiring radiologists left and right.
Yep.
Does this mean now that radiologist jobs will be less important, or will be important in a different way?
They'll be important in a different way, definitely. And it's not a matter of when we're going to have computers, you know, reading. I mean, it's going to happen. So now you're going to have radiologists do things differently. Radiologists, not only are they reading images, but they also know a lot of the clinical background. They're also giving suggestions to surgeons as far as, okay, here's where the tumor is. You can't go in this. You can't go in that direction to go in and take out that tumor, because if you do, you're going to hit this artery, this nerve, this muscle. So they're still definitely going to have a very important place, but it's actually going to make their work more efficient. So instead of them measuring little nodules, Watson's going to say, here's your chest x-ray, here's your chest CT, here's the nodules. Now you tell the surgeon or you tell the oncologist in discussion with them as to what to do next.
Right, right, right. Medical progress, saving more lives every day. So that's pretty cool. We like that. We like
quicker, more accurately, I think it's phenomenal.
Let's talk about strokes when we come back. Some interesting data and interesting developments there, including something called a mobile stroke unit. Because, as you've said many times, time lost is brain loss, so that's a big deal. Back to Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. And it's 6:51. Kev, let's talk about strokes and stroke patients a little bit. Every time someone has a stroke, the absolute key is to get them medical help immediately, right?
Right. Yeah, let's go over a couple of basics for strokes again. You know, you can't pound enough basic information out to the public right now about strokes just because of the vast changes that have been made in how we treat stroke patients. So a stroke, again, is essentially just like a heart attack, but it's in the brain. A blood clot will often form, and it'll stop blood flow to the brain. And when that does, we see outward signs. When we're having a heart attack, we see that as the person has chest pain, chest discomfort, says he's short of breath, is often sweating. For the brain patient, for the stroke patient, you're going to see something, and the acronym is just to remember is FAST, F-A-S-T. Facial drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty or slurred speech, and then the T is for time. In other words, call 911 immediately. Because we know that the quicker we get this patient in and get treatment for them, the better it's going to be.
And time wasted, time lost is brain lost, as the commercial goes, and as you've said many times. So what is the mobile stroke unit?
Okay, so first let's go back. So what we end up happening here is, you know, we want to get these patients in as quickly as possible. And the reason is that, I'll give you an example. When I started my residency, people had strokes. What we did was, okay, how are we going to rehab them after their stroke? Then we got a clot-busting drug called TPA. It allowed us to do simply exactly what we do in the heart. We try to dissolve that clot. Then we got to a point where we can go in and take a blood clot out. We have these brilliant physicians called interventional neuroradiologists that go up into the brain and remove the clot. A study from JAMA just came out that showed, you know what? We used to think that you had to do it within 3 hours, and then you used to do it within 4 hours, then you had to do it within 5 hours. And now, actually, a study just came out that said even 7 hours after a stroke, if you're in the hands of a good interventional neuroradiologist, they can get that clot out, we can get blood flow there, and we can still have a good outcome.
Well, I had a blood clot in my lungs.
Yep.
We used heparin. Can you not use that on the brain?
Well, you can, but it doesn't work as well. And heparin is actually more of a blood thinner, and it's going to just hopefully break up the clot a little bit.
And you don't have that kind of time to work with in the brain.
Exactly. It takes too long, where the TPA works much quicker. So now, like you just said, what about a mobile stroke unit? So this is something that's fascinating. There's about 5 of them in the country right now. We're very fortunate at Northwestern that we will have one come late December, January, right around that time.
It's going to be a cool van with stroke busters on the side of it, and they're going to come in and save the day?
Pretty cool. If you think about it, right, what we're saying is the quicker we can start treatment, the quicker we can get blood flow back to the brain, the quicker the patient is going to have the better outcome they're going to have. So what do we tell? We say, okay, 911 gets a call, and it's a description of a patient having a stroke, so we send the ambulance there as quickly as possible. They put the patient on the gurney, they get them back in the ambulance and drive them to the hospital faster. And we say, well, what we want to do is we want to shorten that time. So what do we tell the ambulance drivers to drive faster? No, what we're actually doing is we have the technology now that we're going to put a CAT scanner inside the ambulance, and we're going to scan the individual in their driveway.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Is there anything that can be done at home, doc, before the first responders get there? I know there's a lot of myths out there. Administer an aspirin, keep having the patient, you know, recite things, their name. It's what actually happened to my father many years ago.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, aspirin, because it's what we do with heart attacks, right? Boy, you're having a heart attack, or you're having symptoms of a heart attack, you know, take baby aspirin. At least it's going to start to slow down the clot getting bigger. It's not going to make it any smaller, but it's going to stop it from getting any bigger. The bad thing about the brain is strokes can be caused by two things. They can be caused by a clot, or they can be caused by a bleed. In other words, the artery ruptures and blood is flowing into the brain instead of a clot blocking it. We want to know which it is, because you don't want to give that person TPA. It's going to make the bleeding worse. And that's the one where we need a neurosurgeon to go in to stop that bleeding. If we know it's a clot, then yes, then the paramedic actually will be able to give TPA, in the driveway. And by the time they get to the hospital now, you've just cut off minutes, and the team is ready waiting for them instead of doing the CAT scan when you get to the hospital.
So literally, the one thing you got to do is call 911. Call 911 and get somebody there medical professionals there as quickly as possible.
That is probably the biggest message. It's not, you know what, Grandma, it looks like your face is drooping a little bit. Let's put you to sleep and let's see how you do in the morning. No,
not good.
Not good at all. We know time is brain, and you know what? The quicker you see any of those symptoms and know to look for them. Ask them to smile. If they can't smile, one side goes up and one side doesn't. If they can't lift their arms, test their strength. If they're slurring their speech and they haven't had alcohol, boy, there's another one. Let's get them in quickly.
It's Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine. When did you say you guys will have the mobile stroke unit?
It's being built right now. We were hoping to get possession of it in early December, and then after some testing and being checked by the state, we're hoping to get it rolling out by January is our set date right now. We're going to start small. We're going to start just in the western suburbs, just around this area, and then as we prove it, we'll roll it out further. And it's all on a foundation. We're not using taxpayer dollars for this. This is all done by donations. And I think we're going to change how we deal with stroke patients out here.
That's why you do all those fundraisers all year.
Exactly.
I wish you had a better MC.
Yeah. Sometimes we have to go to the bottom. But
not great. Not great. Sometimes you have to ask me.
Yep.
Great stuff, man. It's exciting times in medicine, which is good because we hear too much negativity. This is all positivity.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to not talk about Obamacare and things like that and get away from the business side of it and actually talk about some really cool things that are going to impact how we all live and how we all continue to have great quality of life as well as quantity.
Donald Trump just tweeted out strokes are rigged by the media.
Yes.
Wrong.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, impact every day.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Happy Monday, 712. Steve Cochran Show continues. Show number 756 on Twitter at Cochran Show. We're looking at Twitter streams this weekend at all. Donald Trump's all over Twitter talking about this election. I don't know if you know this election. The word, the key word, the safe word, the word of the day. You know what this election is? The whole thing's rigged.
We're going to make history together. Remember, it's a rigged system. It's a rigged election. We're going to beat the rigged system. We're going to beat the rigged election. You're going to look back at this election and say, this is by far the most important vote I've ever cast for anyone at any time in my life.
There's no question about that. It's the most important vote of my life to keep Donald Trump as far away from the White House as humanly possible. There was an interesting twist over the weekend. I'm not sure all of you caught this, but the Trumpster apparently thinks Hillary is on the roids.
We should take a drug test prior, because I don't know what's going on with her. But at the beginning of her last debate, she was all pumped up at the beginning. And at the end, it was like, oh, take me down. She could barely reach her car.
There's no words.
Do you think they walk to their cars together?
I was going to say.
Yeah, they usually do. That's a post-debate tradition where they walk out arm in arm.
Right. She hopped in her Hyundai and then just drove away.
She could barely reach her car.
That wasn't the weirdest part of Trump's weekend. Trump did an event in New Jersey where there were several devotees, Native Indian Americans, right? It wouldn't be American Indians.
Native Americans.
No.
Oh.
Folks from India.
Oh, yeah.
Who are American citizens.
Okay, gotcha.
I think that's right.
Eastern Indian Americans. Yes.
Well, you just listen. Why try to explain it? Listen.
I want to thank you so much for that welcome. Let me begin by expressing my gratitude to Shelley. Great. Come here. Come. Great guy. Great guy. He's a good friend and a great guy. Thank you very much. And your family is amazing. I want to thank you for putting together this incredible event. It's really historic in so many different ways, but I am a big fan of Hindu, and I am a big fan of India. Big, big fan.
Stop it. Stop it. Did you splice the tape together?
I'm
come on.
I'm a big fan of Hindu. You know the secret to Hindu? It's the two Corinthians. It's both of them, the two Corinthians. That's the whole deal.
Go Hindu. Come
go
on.
Go Hindu. Go Hindu.
I am a big fan of Hindu, and I am a big fan of India. Big, big fan.
Hindu is someone who practices Hinduism. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Catholic. Oh, man.
Don't forget the Orthodox. You're a big fan of that, too.
Now, but you know, Mr. Wise Guy here, Mr. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants, well, it turns out I could be wrong. This whole thing about a vast media conspiracy, it turns out I could be completely wrong. We have someone on the phone who claims they can clear this up, can explain the entire thing to us.
Oh, good.
You're not Deep Throat, are you?
No, 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 no. This is that I am not Deep Throat.
You're not Deep Throat.
I'm not. No, no.
Okay. Okay. Do you have a name I should refer to you as?
Well, can you tell by my voice here?
Are you Sore Throat?
No, actually, I'm Trachea Trench.
Well, I'll just call you Trent. All right, so is there anything to this media conspiracy rigging the election?
This has been a conspiracy since day one. What you have to do is you connect the dots and you find out where, and it's exactly what it is. Donald Trump is 110% correct.
All right, well, take me through it then. I mean, I'm willing to listen. That's the thing about me. I'm open-minded.
You got to look back at what has happened this year.
All right.
First of all, you have to look at Silicon Valley pioneer Andy Grove dies. He passes away.
Okay.
This then causes Microsoft to slash like 1,800 jobs. Okay. Microsoft. No, stick with me.
All right, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Stick with me.
I'm with you.
They slash 1,800 jobs, and then for $26 billion, they buy LinkedIn, which is the way people get jobs.
Right. Okay. So far, I really do see a connection between those three stories.
Oh, but you'll see. It gets clear. It gets so clear.
Okay.
Xerox splits into two companies. Uh-huh. Technically, get this, they Xerox themselves.
All right. Okay. All right.
This causes Richard Simmons to be held hostage by his maid.
I do remember the story.
Are you listening to the connection here?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about you. You're very amped up. But
no,
Xerox.
Then coincidentally.
What? Yes.
Hurricane Matthew comes into play.
Right. How's that?
Don't know.
Okay. All right.
But Britney Spears, she endorses Hillary Clinton. Hillary says, I can't have that. She pulls it off. She says, no, I'll take it back.
Okay.
Do you get the connection here? And all of this.
Yes.
All of this.
Right.
Comes into play. Apple 7 is released. Dell buys EMC.
Right.
You turn around, and what happens? It's all because this one woman was touched inappropriately by Donald Trump in January 2016. And that, of course, is the famous actress Eva Marie Saint.
Eva Marie Saint. So all of the media conspiracy and the stories of these women, it all goes back to the now ancient actress Eva Marie Saint.
92 years old, Eva Marie Saint.
All right, listen. This makes as much sense as a Trump campaign speech. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
It's a conspiracy.
Who needs a drug test? Lordy.
This is the only time Eva Marie Saint's ever been brought up on the show.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Who's on the roids?
Safe. But that was sore throat or the source.
Sore throat.
It's not deep throat. Sore throat, the source on all Trump conspiracies.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Ha ha! Hawks get a split with Nashville this weekend and got their first win of the year on Saturday night, which was good. What was it, 5-3, Dave?
5-3 was the final.
Right.
Richard Ponick with a hat trick.
Yeah, he's got four goals in the first three games.
Pretty good, huh?
And he had four goals all of last year. It's a hot start.
Right. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Taves and Kane have barely gotten started. So, you know, 1-2. I mentioned after the first game, okay, they can go 81-1, and after the second game, they can go 80-2.
Mm-hmm.
They're now only 79 wins away from going 80-2.
There you go.
I think your prediction still looks good.
Solid right now.
It's very solid. It's
very solid.
By the way, Taves, Keith, and Seabrook sang the seventh inning stretch last night at the game.
That was just about to be the question I was going to use for the ticket giveaway.
I didn't know you were going to do that.
I was trying to wave at you.
If anyone has any idea.
Well, you guys have to tell me this before I open my mouth.
Play it for me. Play a little bit of this.
All right, Cubs fans, let me hear you. A one, a two, a three.
Take me out to the ballgame.
Hey, they're good.
Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back for it's true. Root, root for the Cubbies.
Makes me miss David Hochberg singing. Let's get some runs. Let's get some runs.
See, that would have been a throwaway question anyway.
All right, so if anyone knows what Andrea just said, first correct caller at 3-1. Let's go to caller 7. Caller 7. Starting with caller 7, you have to tell me who those three Hawks were. Now, if you were paying attention, the answer may have been revealed in the last couple of minutes.
Couple of seconds.
At 312-981-7200. Starting with caller 7, here's what you win. Pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks against the Philadelphia Flyers. That's tomorrow. You'll be entered to win four season tickets for next year from our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, you can find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. You get a second chance to win a pair of tickets this afternoon with Roe. That'll be around 4:15-ish. Now, if Roe's doing a question, you want to come in and give the answer?
I think I will, yeah. Why don't I call him and give the answer ahead of time? You know what, though? I bet whoever Mary's talking to right now, I bet the first person doesn't know it because they weren't listening to what I said.
Well, you keep telling yourself that.
Okay.
Yeah, if that makes you feel
better. As an apology, I will do nothing.
Okay, well, that helps. No apology necessary. You didn't know. You know, how would you know?
Our first caller got it incorrect.
Actually. Oh, see?
There you go.
Yeah. Woo! See, people weren't listening, Steve.
Can I explain to you that people not listening would not be a good thing, is it?
Woo, I've been vindicated.
Hey, while we have a second, one line? Line two? Okay, I'll grab him in just a second here. I want to thank the people at Autism Speak Saturday night. I emceed their event called Chip In for Autism. They did this in a furniture store, a place called Euro Furniture over on Grand Avenue. And I thought, oh, I've never done an event in a furniture store. This will be new.
Was it cool?
It was very cool. It's a real upscale furniture place, and it's got like this walkway sort of balcony-ish area. And they put the podium on the balcony so it's open, so it overlooks the area below. And here's a really smart move as well. What was Saturday night? Anyone? Anyone?
I'd say the Cubs were playing, I think.
They had huge monitors all over where people could watch the Cubs game while they were drinking, eating, and giving money to the cause.
Oh, that's perfect.
It was very smart.
So you could get them to bid, right, while
they
were watching.
Very smart.
They just wanted to watch the Cubs, leave them alone, they'll pay money.
Yeah. So I thought it was really, really well done. Don't act like it's not happening. Give people an opportunity not to leave the room. So, anyway, well done by you guys at Autism Speaks. Let me go and get the winner right now. I have no idea how this guy could have come up with the answer. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm well, Matt. You and Andrea are going to be enjoying these tickets, I'm sure.
Yeah, where are we? What
Some
time are you
scam
picking me up?
That Andrea's running with you, Matt. But who were the
no giveaway?
Who were the three Hawks that sang?
Yeah, it was Jonathan Taves, Duncan Keith, and Brent Seabrook.
Incredible. How would he have gotten that?
I don't know.
Pinch me.
I don't know. Were, right, are we going to dinner first, Matt?
Yeah, well, that's between you and Matt. Congratulations, Matt. You're a big winner. 728. Big story coming up. 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I think we ran it maybe twice or three times. But those were down in the damn red zone when we should be trying to score and knock the Jaguars out. It's upside down. These people are unqualified to be coaching the Bears.
We don't know what to do. That has been the story all year long.
Glenn, why don't you
our opponents make adjustments, we don't.
George Halas started this damn league, and look at what we've seen the last 2 weeks. There's only 16 games, and two of them are horrible. And there's no excuses. The coaches can't hide, and the players can't hide. There's nowhere to go.
Just another day at work for Hampel, B, and Kaz. We're going to have Mark Carmen on later. Can you imagine all the ducking he had to do yesterday with the stuff that was being thrown around the studio?
Yeah, I was watching the first hour of it on CLTV. Every few seconds, Mark disappeared.
Right, flinch. He must have permanent flinch. Dan Hampton joins us now. Good morning, Hall of Famer. How are you?
Well, we actually got him like a foxhole now. They're behind the...
That seems right. This is all sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and our friends at Chevy. Listen, we deserve better than this, Hamp, and I don't see how it's getting fixed anytime soon.
Well, you know, and whenever there is a regime change, like we saw, you know, when Trestman and Emery was dispatched and Ryan Pace and John Fox came in, we were, like everyone else, expecting this team to flourish and make a bunch of, you know, stars out of some of these players. And you know what? Fox has delivered. He's making stars on a weekly basis. Yesterday, it was the Jaguars quarterback, Blake Bortles. The week before, Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. He's making stars every week out of the opposing team. And it's getting really tiresome. And you know, I detest the fact that that we just don't seem to have any overarching killer instinct or direction with this team. But how evident was it in the fourth quarter? We had a 13-0 lead over a very bad football team, and we go about doing everything we can to enable them to come back and beat us. And I'm just saying, if you want to watch a video of how not to to coach in the NFL yesterday, that there you go. You can mark that one.
Hampa, listening to you guys after the game yesterday, and I know this was more OB pushing this point, but I don't think you were disputing it. He was lamenting the fact that the Bears came into the season without a center, and they put Cody Whitehair at center, and he kind of traces the problems the Bears have had to that, or at least looks at that as emblematic of the problems the Bears are having now.
Well, it's a microcosm of what happened way back when, and it sets a team on a trajectory, and we're fulfilling it now. Here's the thing. There's a couple of, solid gold rules of logic in the NFL. And one is, hey, you know, if you run the ball effectively, you have a great chance of winning. You play defense, you got all that. Well, the other one is you better protect your quarterback because nobody in this league is going to do, nobody's going to feel sorry for you if your quarterback gets hurt. So why would you, as a franchise that is spending and investing so much money and Jay Cutler, and you saw that last year he responded with his best performance of his career. Why would you have him start a season with an offensive line in disarray where you actually do not have a bona fide NFL caliber center? The one position that touches the ball every single play, even a quarterback, sometimes the ball snapped to, direct snap to a back or the center. Why would you not have a guy like Matt Slauson? And you don't have to go out and get him. He was right here on your roster. But you, as Ryan Pace and John Fox, both of them, they obviously act in unison. They decided, we don't need to worry about Slauson. We'll go in this new direction. And we all know what happened. Because they want to get their draft picks on the field, so they get rid of Sloss and allow him to walk away. And then there was injuries and just like a musical chairs of bad decisions that, put this rookie that had never played this position, throughout the preseason. And what happens? Well, your quarterback breaks his thumb the very first game. And then he has to leave the game in the second week, and he has not been back. And now here we are, 1-5 with a backup quarterback that has a bunch of gaudy numbers between the 20s, but is not capable, apparently, of punching the ball in, whether it's by hook, crook, or throwing a pass into a very tight window. However, we are not scoring points, and that's what has set this team on this sort of trajectory. Yeah, we've had a lot of injuries. Eddie Goldman and missing McPhee and this and that. Everybody's got injuries. You can't use that as an excuse. But a lot of this could have been alleviated with one very incisive move way back when, saying we need to protect Jay Cutler more than anything else right now. And and this team opted to go in a different direction, and now we're reaping the just rewards.
I played football at a very high level, if high level includes my high school. But I've been a fan my whole life, and I know a little bit about the game. And here's what I know, Hamp. From the time I started playing football at 8 or 9 years old, all the way through sitting on the couch as a fan yesterday, if a guy falls down, I got to touch him or he's not down.
Got to touch him, yeah.
So since, we didn't do that yesterday, to me, all of the season, all of the frustrations, the ultimate symbolism is that. The one most basic play that you have to make, and it's literally, reach out and touch him. That's all you have to do. That ends up costing the game. Now, there's a comedy of errors that led to that to begin with. But how does that not represent this entire season?
I don't think there's any question that is almost, the play that signifies the trajectory that this team's on. And it's a shame because, I had high hopes and great expectations because we had acquired so much better players than we had a year ago. And for Vic Fangio and this defense to basically fall apart when needed most yesterday at home. And, Tracy Porter was maybe our best defensive player last year. He really made a lot of plays. We counted on him. And there's no explanation. You play till the whistle. The whistle was not blown. Why did he not fight, bite, scratch, and claw to get over and touch Ben, the receiver, down? I have no idea. But that was the backbreaker that allowed the Jaguars to beat us. And again, that was your best player a year ago. What's he doing now? Well, obviously, he's not playing as he did a year ago. And I maintained on Fox TV last night, and you can cut it any way you want, but this team today, right now, is not as good as the team that we had, at the end of last season, or even maybe in the opener when we went down to Houston. So why is that? Well, due to a combination of poor decisions and bad coaching, this team right now, and again, you can, everybody laughs at Cleveland. Well, we're in the same zip code as the Cleveland Browns in the NFL right now, and that's not good. And if you're the head coach, you've got to take a lot of that on your plate.
Yeah, because the head coach won in other places, and now I'm starting to wonder if the reason he won in other places was purely coincidence, because I haven't seen anything here that makes me think John Fox is a genius. We'll come back, talk to Hamp more in a second at 7:48. And let's get traffic first, though. Mary's here back with that on 720 WGN.
It's not a lack of heart, lack of trying. Our guys battle. We just don't play well enough right now. Everybody in there, I think coaches are giving their all, the players are giving their all. We just we got to play better to win games. And today was much like a few of our other outings.
Song seems a little upbeat for the occasion. 7:53, back to Hamp. All right, Amp, there's been a lot of discussion in the last 24 hours. Well, not 24, more like 18. Going, all right, well, we got to change our focus. Our focus is, you know, maybe we get the first round draft pick. I'm not ready to do that in October. I mean, even though it's not a shot in hell this team's going to make the playoffs, I still want a quality product on the field to expect to be entertained, and I'd like them to win a few.
Absolutely. And, you know, it really just infuriates me when fans go, oh, I don't want them to win no more because I want to bet. What have we gotten thus far with these draft picks? Now, we know that Cal Long has been a good player, and he is the only one of six first-round draft picks that played yesterday. So what are we going to get? Another guy that's on the bench with a calf owie? Another guy that got a fracture in his leg the second year that doesn't even touch the field? How about a Cal Fuller who had a procedure done on his knee back in training camp, and he has yet to return to practice? So why are we waiting for some first-round savior that has not, you know, appeared basically up to this point, except for, you know, Cal Long? And all I can tell you is, and unfortunately, Cal is struggling with that labrum, and he's not the player he was, you know, last year or at any time in his career. But all this being said, you know, when Fox gets up there with this gobbledygook, you know, we didn't play well enough, or we're not good enough, or, you know, I just, you know, Cap and I was doing that Chevy spot, and I said, it's time to put on your big boy pants. Well, that means when you've got a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter, you play the game and protect the lead. And you run the ball with conviction. That's where you take over the game. You put on the big boy pants. Well, we put on our leotards because we don't know what to do or how to do it, and that's part of coaching. And, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, well, our players aren't going to. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know how many guys on that Jacksonville team would have started for the Bears. I know that there's only two that would have started off of the Indianapolis Colts, and that's the quarterback and the receiver. And guess what? Those two guys, the only two that I would have allowed to start on my roster if I, you know, had to pick some of them, well, guess what? We allowed those two guys to beat us. Yesterday, nobody. You want Bortles with his two-second windup? You want him? No. Well, guess what? We allowed him to come back and beat us because we are so poorly coached. We don't know how to close.
I don't even know that it was big boy pants. It was yoga pants. They put on their yoga pants, Dave.
Leotards.
What about, Hamp, what happened to Jordan Howard? I mean, you and I have talked a lot about him. Very impressive rookie running back, but it just seemed like they could never get him going yesterday.
You know, there's a lot of whiffs and vibes out of this team, and you start saying, what's going on? I will tell you this, coming off of back-to-back 100-yard efforts, early in the game, down by the goal line, they gave him the ball, and it looked like, I haven't had a chance to review the film yet, but it looked like he was running with his head down, which he has had a tendency to do, and maybe, just maybe, with Kadeem Carey, who, you know, he's a little bit more of a quick twitch fiber guy. Maybe they thought, well, let's give him a shot, and he actually responded with a better average per carry than Howard did, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, and maybe they're just trying to platoon. They're trying to, you know, get different faces, different combinations into the game. But yet, when you see the Dallas Cowboys with these two rookies go up to Green Bay and summarily take them apart at the hinges, I didn't see them trying to get cute with backup running backs and this and that. Hey, those kids, they played their butts off. And you know, I don't understand when we finally get a little something going, it's like we can't stand success. We've got to tamper and tinker with it.
It's the frustration that Bears fans are feeling now is a habitual thing every Monday. So the Packers show up on Thursday night. They were awful yesterday against the Cowboys. But the general response to awful for Aaron Rodgers is he gets his act together in the following week, and he clearly has amped it up against the Bears ever since he came into the league. Is there any shred of hope that Thursday night won't be called, that there won't be a white towel thrown in midway through the third?
And again, you can't make this stuff up. You know, the Packers, they had the number one run defense in football yesterday, and it was shredded by these, you know, by these Cowboys that nobody gave a lot of thought or credence to early in the year. But part of the reason was Aaron Rodgers. You can say what you want. Aaron Rodgers is not the guy that we feared for so many years. And, yeah, there's no question he could get it together on Thursday night as we go up to Lambeau. But I'll tell you this. The Cowboys were outplayed in every phase in the first half. And the first drive of the second half, he goes down, and they're at about the five-yard line, and the play breaks down, and he's trying to go in the end zone, and he gets hit, and he fumbles. Well, the Packer defense forces the first interception of the year off of the Dallas quarterback, Dak Prescott, and basically he goes to the end zone, and there's a wide-open receiver, and he throws it over his head 8 yards. That is not the guy, that is not the Aaron Rodgers that everybody across the league feared in 2012 and 13 and 14. So we do have a chance. If he doesn't find the answer, boy, that's great for us. But normally when you see a team embarrassed like that at home, they respond. Oh, that's normal teams. We don't do that. But normal teams, they find a way to get their ire up, and they're going to, you know, they're going to start setting fire to lockers in pregame. So I don't know what team we're going to see, but if we play like we did in the second half yesterday, it's going to be a bad result.
Well, if you remember last year, Thanksgiving night, the Bears went to Lambeau. They were coming off a loss 4 days earlier at home to a backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos, who ended up making a lot of money in the offseason, Brock Osweiler. And they went up and beat the Packers at Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving. Difference then, Hamp, was that the Packers were coming off a win. And now they're coming off a loss, as you point out. But yep. You never know.
You never know, but here's the one thing about that. And again, I say, you know, that was the week where Martellus Bennett had started that stink, and he didn't even make the trip. And a lot of times when something like that happens, the team is driven together, and it's like, oh, it's us against the world mentality, blah, blah. And they really played, you know, their best game of the year for John Fox. And let's hope that somehow, some way, they're able to recapture or somehow, you know, start the journey back to self-respect. Because right now, and I said, you know, we're not as good a team as we were a year ago, and we're not as good as we were in the opener. And you know what? At some point, you got to say, why is that? Why are we not as good? Well, maybe Thursday night, everybody needs to prove what they think they want to become. Because, as you said, this is no time to be talking about draft picks. This is no time to be going wobbly. We're 1-5. There's nothing to do but try to dig yourself out. And Thursday night, maybe we can.
Yeah, professional pride. I mean, come on. Mediocre would be an upgrade at this point.
You know, we talked about the Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville. These were two gifts from the schedule makers to give us a chance to get back to 3-3 and respectability, and we squandered it. We would not take it. So guess what? You know, like a little kid, you don't want to take your medicine, you're going to pay for it.
It's Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, telling it like it is, baby. Carb, stop ducking. All right, we'll be in touch, Hamp. Take a breath. Take a breather.
All right, some milk, maybe a nap. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Kiss me
8:15, Dean Richards standing by at Channel 9. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
And how are you today?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I had a great weekend.
What'd you do?
I was in our nation's capital over the weekend.
Why?
A friend of mine got married.
Testifying to Congress again?
Those the communists, the allegations have come up again.
Mm-hmm.
I was a friend of mine got married, and it was a, you know, it's Washington, D.C. is just one of the most beautiful cities in America. It's gorgeous.
A lot of people are surprised that Dean and Harry Reid, the senator from Nevada, are so close.
We hung out. I was at the wedding that I was at. Harry Reid and Hillary Clinton all doing the hokey pokey.
I always thought it was Hillary more of a limbo type. No?
Or a chicken dance.
Some of them would only put their left leg in.
Yeah, right, right. Partisan. Partisan hokey pokey.
Can't we all get along with the chicken dance?
This is what it's come to. This is how split this country is. You can't even get a both leg hokey pokey. Yeah.
If you take the people out of D.C., the politicians, it is a great city.
It's true. Beautiful.
Did you go to any of our monuments or any place? By the way, the hometown of Dave Innitt.
Yes, it is.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Yep.
Lovely, 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 lovely city.
His father, Edgar Hoover, raised him there.
Go Cats.
Now, my father.
That's why Dave occasionally wears women's clothing.
I was at the Lincoln Memorial. Went to the Lincoln Memorial. Gorgeous. Very moving. I've been there many times. Still very, very moving.
Were you honest when you were there, or did you lie?
No, I lied.
Yeah. Well, that's
I'm
not good,
even telling you the truth now.
Yeah. You weren't even in Washington.
I wasn't even in Washington.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. No, it was. It's very moving. You know, go up there, and you look at the statue, and... what I remember, I mean, it's very moving.
You ever try to sit in Lincoln's lap? The guards love it.
To see it. Remembering that, I think it was a Bill Maldwin political cartoon when JFK was killed, and it was the Lincoln Memorial with Abe Lincoln with his hands, looking down his hands on his head like,
yeah.
now what? Now
yeah.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Now what's happened?
Yeah.
Went by the, speaking of Lincoln, was strolled by the Ford Theater.
And that's where Lincoln saw a terrific play.
That's where he saw part of a terrific play. What else? What else did I do? I
went to last New Year's Eve. We were at the Rouse Center, at the Rouse Center, and I come out on stage and I go, "Wow, is this place historic? You know, this is where Lincoln was killed." And there's a woman that's sitting in the front. The lights are enough so you can see the front row. There's a woman that sits in the front. She leans over to her husband and goes, "I didn't know that."
Oh no.
I love you all, even if you're not historians.
You've seen one old theater, you've seen them all.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a nice trip.
It's very nice. Very, very, very nice.
When we come back, Beyonce's earlobe, Toni Braxton in the hospital, The Walking Dead, Jennifer Lopez's butt.
What?
The seventh inning stretch story. And
did you hear the stretch from last night?
Yeah, it was awful. But it was awful in a charming way. Because it was our Blackhawks.
It was, yeah, what they lacked in singing ability, they had in a charm and enthusiasm
yeah.
in delivering it.
Yeah.
But my question about that is, who sang it worse?
Oh, I know the answer to this because, well, we'll play you a sample so you can decide for yourself. But Ditka was angry. Ozzy was drunk. The Hawks were charming. I mean, who are you going to pick, right? So we'll come back and you can decide.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
823. Dean Richards live at Channel 9. All right, so Beyonce blew an earring.
Excuse me?
Isn't that what it's technically called?
Is that what the kids are doing these days?
If an earring gets sort of ripped out of your ear, what's that called? Is there a term for it?
I just say I lost my earring.
And part of your earlobe.
It's very painful.
Part of it.
It seems like it would be very painful.
I've actually never had that happen, though.
You usually get it caught on something?
No, or? Usually just falls out. The little clasp becomes unhooked.
Oh, yeah, like when you're combing your hair or something, and you get the rung caught in the ice.
Yeah, I haven't had that happen.
Yeah,
this, and who hasn't had this happen while you're putting on a big concert
yep.
in the Meadowlands?
Uh-huh.
You're singing, and you have you know this big, gigantic hair mm-hmm. that gets caught in your big, gigantic
So far, you're describing my life.
Earring, another typical Friday night with Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And the earring gets caught and rips her earlobe, as was reported from fans who were there. Looked like her earlobe was ripped in half.
Oh.
Doesn't that sound disgusting?
So what did she do?
She kept singing.
That's right, because she's Beyonce.
She kept singing. She didn't stop. She
come get it, babe.
When you watch the video, you can
come
see.
Come get it, babe.
She
just like that.
Like reaches up to her ear. You know, she's obviously feeling something's going on there. She didn't look like she was in pain at all, but felt like the blood. And she puts her hand up on her earlobe, looks at her fingers. It's blood. And then keeps on singing. Keeps on going.
Show must go on.
Show must go on.
I remember once I was watching Bob Seger and his head exploded and he finished the song.
Who really? Knew that sound could still come out of a stump on one's neck?
Only Beyonce. The legend grows.
Against the wind. Where's that sound coming from?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an echoey thing, though.
Give me old time rock and roll. Is that coming out of the stump on his neck?
That's right, because that's why, because his head exploded.
That's Bob Seger.
All right, Toni Braxton. When Toni Braxton had two or three hits and was kind of a big deal pop star, she suddenly sort of disappeared, and she had some health issues, and her sister sort of became a star in the interim. I think her sister was on Dancing with the Stars, right?
I think so, yeah.
She with the Braxton family history.
Was. Right. And now Toni Braxton is back. She did a new album recently, and now she's back. But she's sick again, huh?
Yeah, they have a pretty popular, the Braxton sisters have a pretty popular reality show also. But she...
what is it, Leave It to Braxton?
It is called Leave It to Braxton's. She was in the hospital earlier this month because she lives with lupus. And she was hospitalized again over the weekend. She was supposed to have appeared.
At now, lupus is her boyfriend or husband?
Lupus is autoimmune disease.
Oh, that's right. You said she lives with lupus. I'm confused. I'm not that smart. Hey, lupus.
Lupus, come here.
Lupus, I got a concert. I thought you were driving me.
See, I had a big Twitter fight with somebody over the weekend who said that we were making fun of autistic people the other day when I was when I was talking about the Ben Affleck movie.
Absolutely not.
And I said that Steve and I are way too, we would never do such a
thing. Let me tell you something, there's a lot of stuff we'll make fun of. That ain't one of them.
Make fun of someone's disease like lupus. We would never do such
a thing. No, we'd make fun of lupus, but not because she has lupus. But no, there's no autism jokes on the show. Not ever.
Not ever. That's as I explained to the person who crucified us for something we didn't do.
Right. Well, they misunderstood.
Yes, they were very misunderstood.
So did Lupus drive Toni Braxton to the show?
Lupus, she's okay, Steve. I'm taking from your question. This is what I'm getting. Uh-huh. Is she okay?
That's what I meant.
That's what I'm hearing you saying.
Yep.
She was hospitalized over the weekend. She has been released, and she's doing okay. But she had to cancel her show at the Erie Crown and also another show in Cleveland. She and Lupus are doing just fine this morning. I'm sure enjoying a nice breakfast.
Jennifer Lopez caught her boyfriend cheating.
Now, how
could you cheat on J-Lo?
That's my takeaway with this whole thing. Okay, you're easily 20 years younger than Jennifer Lopez. You are lucky to be there.
Yeah,
you are lucky to be
the Casper dude.
The Casper dude.
I thought they dumped each other earlier.
It's been rumored.
He's been re-dumped.
It's been rumored that it's never been official, but over the weekend, Jennifer Lopez, sources close to Jennifer Lopez said the reason why he got kicked to the curb is that he cheated on her some time ago, 2 years ago, cheated on her, got caught, and then cheated on her again.
Oh, get rid of him. Yeah. J-Lo can do better.
Hit the bricks.
On her again. And,
she needs a nice guy like Lupus.
Lupus is a caring man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing.
He's available.
I don't know. If you're with J-Lo, I've heard she's difficult to work with. But, I mean, if you're with J-Lo in a relationship, and like you said, you're some 25-year-old nincompoop dancer, you may want to take that one to the bank, pal.
Yeah. And here's a crazy idea. How about not cheating on your girlfriend, no matter who it is?
I'm going to make a note of that. All right. We could add that to the list as well of dumb things this guy did. Okay. All right. So our question is, who did it worse?
Do you want to hear a little of, this is Jonathan Tate.
No. This is the last one.
Oh, just the last one you want to hear?
No. I want you to go in order for me. Give me Ditka first.
Okay. Give me Ditka.
All right. Ditka doing the stretch.
Seventh inning stretch. This was, like, I think 1997, I think.
I think it was later.
It started in 98 with these. I think it was that year.
Okay.
Yeah. Classic. Here you go.
A one and a two and a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. All these happy nuts, I thank George Jackson. I don't care if I ever get.
Now, in his defense, he walked in at the last minute.
Yeah, he was late coming in from a golf course, right, and got caught in traffic and was hyped up when he went upstairs. But he sounds like a wounded animal.
He does.
Sounds like a wounded animal in a trap.
He does.
And Gary, poor Gary Pressey broke his wrist trying to keep up with him.
Trying to keep up with the guy. That had to be the hardest one that Gary Pressey ever did.
All right, so that category is angry. That's angry stretch. How about drunken stretch? You got a drunken stretch?
August 2003, Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne.
One, two, three, and let's go out to the river. Let's go out to the river.
Here's my favorite part.
Take me in the river. You know, bring me in. I don't remember what I have to say.
There you go. Okay, listen.
Now let's get some runs.
Yeah, let's get some runs. Come on, don't mess around. Let's get some runs, guys.
Whatever they are.
It was so inspirational.
I was standing right next to them while they were, because I was tailing them around that day for television.
All right, so that's
they
drunk.
They had lyrics in front of them.
Yeah.
The size.
Well, yeah, you can hear it. You could hear the lyrics when Ozzy went,
yeah. Yeah, the words were right in front of them. All they had to do was look down and read.
How about the math at the end?
So it's 3-2-3 strikes you out. 3-2-3 strikes you out.
So terrible.
Gosh.
That never gets old.
All right, so that's drunk. We had angry, we had drunk. How about charmingly bad?
The guys from last night, Jonathan Taves, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook.
All right, Cubs fans, let me hear you. A one, a two, a three.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I am. For the Cubbies, if they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1-2-3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
So, big finish. Yeah, big finish.
So, I mean, but they were enthusiastic. Taves especially. He's, like, getting into the choreography, everything.
Well, I think part of the problem with their version was it was two-thirds Canadian.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Didn't even think of that. But so 11 o'clock last night, Jonathan Taves Instagrams, tough loss for the Cubs. Hope it wasn't the singing.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It could have had something to do with it. Could have shut him down.
Wasn't there somebody who said, let's get some lunch?
Oh, that was Kid Rock.
Oh, Kid Rock.
Jeff Garland standing next to Kid Rock, and Jeff Garland whispers into his ear, say, let's get some runs, and Kid Rock goes, let's get some lunch! And 30,000 people went across the street to Murphy's.
Yes.
Well done. All right, so we can agree the Hawks were the best of that by far.
Oh, very definitely.
Okay, fine. And I am booking Ozzy Osbourne for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs if you'd like him around your children.
That's still hilarious.
Three, two, three. Sharon!
I'm going to make that my ringtone on my phone. That just makes me smile every time I hear that.
He was the best worst.
Yeah, he was awful.
Absolutely.
He was awful. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
All right, back with the big story next, 720 WGN.
3-2-3 strikes, you're out.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, here you go, Anthony Rizzo. 0-2 tonight, 1-22 this postseason. Popped 32 home runs during the regular year. Last chance for Chicago. Broken back, should end it. It does! Dodgers win 1-0, and they've split the first two games of this NLCS in Chicago.
No, you got to continue to play through the bad lie. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you stay with your guys. Dodgers have good pitching. Cubs have good pitching. I'm sure they're saying the same thing about some of their guys right now, too. They had an all left-handed lineup tonight versus Kyle, which they won, and they squeaked out one run on a homer.
Well, it's not the end of the world for the Cubs, but it's a huge deal for the Dodgers to get out of Wrigley with a win. Big. Don't you think, Dave?
Only one team has gotten out of the NLCS after losing the first two games.
Yeah.
And it's like 24 out of 25.
How about that? Mark Carmen standing by. Mark is one of our rotating cast of crew to take care of the post games all the way through the Cubs' extended postseason run. And it's not the end of the world. Carm, how you feeling? You okay?
You know, Steve, I was feeling great, but then I was just kind of hearing that last bit about if the Cubs had won last night, they were almost a lock to go to the World Series. So my great mood has been vastly diminished in the last 30 seconds. And I'm thinking about the fact that, well, at least for Addison Russell, who's 1 for 22, he does have Anthony Rizzo as a partner in crime at 1 for 23. So I think those guys got to get going here, and they'll be fine, but those guys do need to get going.
Guys get tight. They get into the second season, they get tight. They start off their little slide, then they're kind of pressing, and then suddenly they're 4 or 5 games in, and they're 1 for 22. You can't have it, Dave. You can't have it.
And you're leaving out Dexter Fowler, who's 4 for 24, and Jason Hayward is 2 for 18, and it's
that's 8 for 1,000 between those four guys.
I mean, it kind of feels that way when you watch him. I mean, it's not like it's all the way up and down the lineup, as Joe Maddon pointed out after the game last night. I mean, you know, Baez is hammering the ball almost every time he gets up there. Even when he makes an out, it's a very loud out, but there are too many quiet outs happening right now.
Well, and that's a great point, Dave, because it's not like they're sitting there smoking the baseball all around the field and just, you know, tough luck. They're not, most of the balls are not hard hit at all. And you look at who's hitting, Chris Bryant's hit and Baez has hit and no one else has hit. I mean, they're hitting 194 as a team. And a lot of that 194 is wrapped up in Jake Arrieta hitting 3-run homers and Kyle Hendricks getting 2-run singles, Travis Wood hitting a home run. I mean, a lot of their production has been from their pitchers. So, I mean, really, when you look at how they've hit, you're kind of fortunate to be sitting there through the DS and tied up 1-1 with the Dodgers. I mean, it was a crazy game in game one that they almost gave away, but, you know, came through. I mean, who would have thought that Miguel Montero was going to launch one into the night after, you know, he was questionable to be on the playoff roster? He's in 216. So,
Andrea did some
work to do here. They really do.
Boy, I think I'm just a lifelong Cub fan and a realist. Though when he came up to the plate, I literally sat down in my seat. There was a girl sitting next to me too. She said, "Oh, why are they batting him?" I said, "I have no idea. He's got back pain. I didn't even think he was going to play." And then he drilled. Whoever could have predicted he was going to hit a grand slam?
My husband did.
But Mark,
did. He goes, "He's going to hit a grand slam."
Mark, my question to you: Anthony Rizzo isn't. Absolute disappointment. 1 for 23. He's hitting 43.
Do you 43.
Oh, 43. Yeah. Do you? I mean, really? And this whole he'll come through. He'll come through when? Because you know we needed him to come through 3 times last night, or he was 0 for 4. With my question to you, I'm calming down. Sorry, Steve.
This is the longest question in history now. I want
you
to get to
this. I know. Would they bench Rizzo for a game? Put Soler or put Bryan at first. Put Soler, whatever they need to do. Would they bench him?
No, they wouldn't. I think Maddon said it in the cut that we had coming back there. I mean, you got to play through, just like a little nice little golf reference. That they're not going to bench Rizzo, and I don't think they're going to move him in the lineup either. But it will be interesting, Andrea, what he does with the rest of the lineup. I mean, you have Baez, who's been your hottest guy. He moved him up from 7 to 6. I think a lot of people, myself included, would like to see him hitting 5. I mean, he deserves to be, certainly with his production by far. And then what do you do with Addison Russell, who's been brutal? I mean, I would say you hit him 8, but then you have a lot of candidates who need to hit 8 right now. So do you bench Hayward and put Soler out there, and now you have a bigger outfield in L.A., so that's a factor too. So, I mean, Joe Maddon and company, they got a lot of decisions to make here. I'm hoping the lineup looks a little bit different. Plus, you're going up against 2 lefties the next 2 games, definitely in Game 3 and most likely in Game 4. So are you really going to bat left-handed Jason Hayward? I was shocked he was in the lineup last night. He was 0 for 12 versus Kershaw in his career. I didn't get it.
So you have not been the biggest Joe supporter so far. How do you feel the manager did on the weekend?
I, I love Joe. Let me just say that. I thought game
one. So the official opinion of Mark Carmen is that he's overrated.
Well, I was cursing Joe Maddon in game one. I got to be honest. I did not think that he should have taken out Lester. I thought he blew the whole game. I don't think you should have Aroldis Chapman pitching in the eighth, and it was pure desperation at that point. But I also, part of me is like, you got to trust Joe Maddon. He's like the best manager they've ever had. But I didn't like how he managed game one, but it worked out. So, I think I was with most people there, right? I mean, who wanted John Lester to be taken out after only 77 pitches in six innings? I just didn't get it, especially for a guy like Jorge Soler, who had a minimal chance of coming through. But Maddon said afterwards that he didn't think that Lester looked that good, which was a pretty bold thing to say about one of his players. So, I guess you give him a little bit of he knows baseball a lot more than I do.
I don't want to scare Cubs fans, dude, but here's the situation. You don't get a great performance from Arrieta tomorrow night with three key players not hitting. Then you're looking at down 2-1 with two more in their part. That's not what you want. Arrieta's got to be really good.
Hitting the nail on the head, Steve. They need a huge performance from Jake Arrieta, who, by the way, is throwing a no-hitter at Dodger Stadium. But he hasn't been that Jake Arrieta for a little while right now. I mean, you're going up against Rich Hill, who was on the 2007 Cubs and went to the playoffs. I mean, how is that guy still in baseball? He gets a blister every time
he pitches his nose. He's old and he's active. We should give him credit.
That's true. Very, very, very much.
All right, so.
So
Carm believes that it's over. The Dodgers have already won.
What? Carm?
Carm thought the Giants were going to win the DS in four games. So Carm was dead wrong. I love when I talk about myself in the third person. So I think the Cubs are going to the World Series. I think they're winning the World Series. That's my opinion.
Well, you got to get by the Dodgers to get there. How many games is it going to take? 9, 10?
I mean, it's still a best of seven. I mean, seven to me sounds about right. Wow. I think this is going to be a tough look here, but who knows?
Can you imagine how much money you're going to spend on tickets if it's a seven-game series?
I know. I'm going to need a small loan. Ennett, I need to borrow some
money. There's only two more games in Chicago, even if it does go
but
seven.
But the ticket prices keep going up.
You think for game seven they would be expensive?
A little higher.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I just give the Cubs just a little advice? When the ball comes over the plate, hit the ball.
It's a good thing. Write it down, Cubs. Write it down, Cubs. When the ball's over the plate, hit it.
Hit it.
May I just rewind to last year, NLDS?
Sure.
It was best of five, which is what we've got now. It's best three out of five, right? First team to win.
That's what we're down to, right?
That's what you look at it. Yeah. They have home field.
Yes, they do.
Last year, Cardinals had home field. Cubs went in, got shut out in the first game in St. Louis. And then what happened? They won game two. Then they won game three, and they won game four. So, coming home. But then again, the next three would be in Los Angeles.
Right. So, it was a good story until you remembered the geography.
I know. The problem is it started as a best of seven this time.
Right now.
Oh. Yeah, the Cubs have been a good road team. They're going to be they've played well.
They're going to be fine.
They're going to be okay.
Going to be fine. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if they run the table. They wouldn't.
It really wouldn't surprise me either. I mean, why should we be surprised by that? No.
But if Jake Arrieta's not good, the gnashing of teeth in the streets in the city.
Things will get tense.
Yeah, it'll be a little tense. Mark Carmen, next post game for you, I assume, will be after the game?
Yes, Steve. One last thing. If the Cubs don't take two out of three in L.A., they're going up against Clayton Kershaw in an elimination game in game six, just for the record.
Boy, he is a bright, sunny guy, isn't he?
Right.
You're all puppies and rainbows, you are. Thanks, buddy. That's Mark Carmen still with a flinch after yesterday's Bears post game. I guess I shouldn't expect him to be positive. He's lucky to be alive.
Adam Hogue tweeted a picture of Carmen in the studio late last night. He looks like he is like mummified himself, like trying to hide from civilization.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I
do too. Yeah. That Bears postgame thing, that's a dangerous room to be in.
But this was hours after that.
Oh, yeah, but you got to decompress.
I mean, I think we do have to have some sympathy for Carm.
I totally love Carm.
At first, he had to spend all that time dissecting the Bears loss, three hours, and then he's on after the Cubs loss last night.
It's tough.
It gets you depressed.
Show business. It's like coal mining. It's 8:54. We're back after this on 720. WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show. This is show number 756. You know, a lot of people said this show wouldn't get to 7 or 56. 756, how about that?
That's
yeah, pretty good. Later on this month, we'll be celebrating getting rid of that Deadwood DeCastro. Jamie DeCastro, the guy that saved this place, will be moving on to spend more time with his money. And
his family, you mean. Family.
What? What did I say?
Money. You meant family, I think.
We love him. We'll miss him. And we're already doing that thing like in high school where you go, we're going to talk all the time. We'll never not be in contact.
You know what's funny? When he said,
he's going to so lose our numbers.
When he said, don't worry, we're together forever. And then I saw him say it to about 15 other people.
Yeah, he was saying it to people in the hallway. He didn't even know. But he's the greatest, and later this month, we're putting together some festivities for the listeners. One of the coolest things about the resurgence of GN since 2013 is that this how smart this audience is. But this audience really gets it. I ran into some people Saturday night at this Autism Speaks event who said, tell Jimmy thank you. How cool is that? I mean, nobody knows the general manager, and everybody knows DeCastro.
Yeah. When I was in Greece, the listeners were saying that, too.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Speaking of Saturday night, thanks again to the Autism Speaks folks. There was a speaker Saturday night, and for families with special needs kids or families dealing with autism in general, this guy is absolutely amazing. He's one of the best inspirational, motivational speakers in the country. His name's Anthony Iani, and he was a walk-on at Michigan State from like 2008 or 9 to 11 or 12. And he wasn't a regular, but he got in a lot of games. And this is a kid who, when he was diagnosed when he was little, they thought might end up in a group home at some point. So, you know, and his message is so great because he talks about bullying in schools and all these other things, but he also just dream big. And we did a special fundraiser afterwards where I posted up against him and he slammed me to the ground. And then everybody raised more money that way. So, but a really good guy and a nice group. So thanks again to Autism Speaks. Speaking of friends, friend in studio here, let me bring John DeCoss into this. Not that John's not my friend, because he is. John, you and I will be doing New Year's Eve at a very special place this year.
A very special place, the Tivoli Theater, downtown Downers Grove. And our very dear friend, Mark Mazremus, is here. Did I say that correctly, Mark?
You did.
How many times a day does Mazremus get mispronounced? Like every time somebody says Mazremus?
Yeah.
What is it? Mazremus, is it Polish?
Lithuanian. Yes.
Mazremus means what in English?
Sam or Sam. That's backwards.
Okay, I'll tell you what. All right, let's start with the Tivoli. What's the history of the theater?
The theater was built in 1928, opened Christmas Day.
Was it a vaudeville theater at one point?
They did a little bit of vaudeville, and it was one of the first movie theaters actually built for sound. And so the
coming out of the talkie era.
Yes, the talkie era was just getting ready to roll out, and they were getting prepared. So acoustically, it has always been a great auditorium.
Really is. Massive stage. And
we've even made it bigger. We've expanded the stage.
Since we announced the show?
Yes, we have. For egos and bodies.
Yeah, great. And here's the thing. I didn't know until John told me this. There's a bowling alley downstairs?
There is. The Tivoli bowling lanes, 12 lanes, wooden floors, and very cool.
Like classic old bowling alley.
Classic old bowling alley.
That's wild. Because the idea was back in the day, if you went to a movie, it was an event, right? You didn't go, we got 2 hours to kill, let's go to a movie. You went out.
It was a special thing to go to the movies. People planned it. Today, you know, everybody's on their cell phone and it can be a last minute thing.
Right. I love when people go to a movie, they look at me and go, what do you want to see? Oh, it's McDonald's. They only sell four things. Pick it and move up. But it's a special place and a special theater, and we're honored to be there.
Oh, we're so happy to have you there. And I wanted to mention what's really nice is the West Suburban Living magazine. The cover story is on movie theaters, and we didn't know this. Chris Johnson, our CEO, was interviewed, and I sent him a few photos. And then last week, I opened up the issue, and here it was. They picked our York Theater as the best movie theater.
Wow, cool.
Our Lake Theater was runner-up, and then our Tivoli Theater, which you guys are going to host a wonderful event, was picked as the best old-time movie theater. So what better than to have some comedy icons
right
on the stage at the Tivoli?
Right, or if you can't get them, get us.
Get us, then we'll do it.
The train to the Tivoli, I mean, it literally stops right out front, doesn't it?
It does. So you could take the train there. There's plenty of parking.
And by the way, free parking.
Free
yes.
parking.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You're not lots of restaurants. Yeah, you could really spend the great place to spend New Year's Eve or any time.
Now, you know the hook. It's New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight. This year, we're making sure
yes.
that you're going to make it because we're doing a show at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Right.
6 o'clock. Who's on the show?
That particular show is from HBO and Showtime, Larry Reeb, Uncle Lair, and, of course, our very own Petty Vasquez.
Right.
You Tim and Banker and you and I.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we'll do the year-in-review thing that yep. I normally do on a yep. big screen, which would be great.
Yeah.
But you think my head's big now. Where do you see it on that screen?
I've worked with Patty. I think we showed a movie at our York that she was in, a dog movie that she starred as a waitress.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you might want to use that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, thanks for the heads up.
That's okay.
So we'll figure that out. But in the meantime, you are very busy in a bunch of other areas. You were telling us off the air a second ago, and Orion would love to hear this. You guys are opening a place in Sandwich?
We are. We're not quite a month in. It was called the Wow 7, and we took it over in about 8 days, did a makeover, and still continuing to do improvements. It's now called Cinema 7. And it's in Sandwich, Illinois. Wonderful, wonderful place. And
let me ask you a stupid question: can you support 7 rooms in Sandwich?
We'll
find out.
We're gonna find out. Yeah,
yeah. It's great, right?
Yeah.
Because the Sandwich is sort of a magnet for people from all over, especially in the summertime.
Yeah, and when you get a little bit out in the sticks, you know, people will travel further to go right. to a movie theater. You know, it's not like you're passing in 5 miles 6 movie theaters when you're out in Sandwich.
Yeah, I've got friends that have places out on the lake there. So if the Roth family, the Huberler family, or the Pierce family come by, charge them double.
I will. And you know what? Our owners, the Johnson family, they have a place on the lake. So that's part of the reason we took over this theater. They'll now get free movies over the summer.
Otherwise, they don't have to pay. I love the ownership of the Tivoli Group because we've talked about this before, but between what you did in Woodstock with the revamp that you did
gorgeous,
up there.
Gorgeous.
This is not something where they're going into these theaters and going, how do we make another nickel? They're spending great money to preserve these old movie houses and give people a great experience.
They do. And you know what? The best thing about the Johnson family, Willis Shirley and their son Chris, is the money that when you spend when you go to the movie theater, they are always reinvesting that money back into the theater and making improvements, whether it's the new theater we have in Sandwich or any of the theaters, and still trying to stay up to date with state-of-the-art technology with our sound and screen and our presentation. And you know,
what are those gravity chairs you were telling me about?
Oh, we just put in, you know, that's the rave of the industry is putting in these luxury recliners. And so the competitors have put them in, you know, it's one motor, so the back and the feet set. Well, Chris Johnson wanted the ultimate lounge chair, so in our Cinema 12 in Carpentersville, he put in zero gravity chairs, two motors, so you can perfectly set your feet and then set your head to be in a perfect position to relax and watch the movie. So as we add that to our theater,
have you got a snoring mute then?
Yeah, we do. If your wife or significant other drags you to a movie and it's a little boring, well, yeah, take a little schnooze.
Can I get one of those for the New Year's Eve show?
With the chairs?
Bring those.
Yeah,
in.
We'll bring one in just
okay,
for
go.
You.
Yeah,
awesome.
We'll put it on stage.
Yes.
That'd be great if Andrea falls asleep during the show.
During the show, yes.
And then you wake her up and she goes, hey, I got to stay up later. I'm just trying to get some rest now.
Never.
How do we get tickets?
You can get tickets by going to Tivoli.com. All right,
ClassicCinemas.com.
Yes. Click on Tivoli and also Eventbrite as well. And you just get these tickets, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've had so many people ask us over the last...
Well, they wanted to come out west.
Yeah, they wanted to come out west. They wanted to come
and we
out,
had options. We yes. had other places coming
oh,
after
yeah,
us.
We did.
And then
yeah.
when the idea for the Tivoli came, because I had done a show with you guys a while ago.
Yes.
And we thought, well, hold on a second. I wonder if they'd be interested. And you were great about taking a meeting with us, and it worked out. So it's very cool.
As soon as you guys have mentioned it, and I don't know, it seems like a month or two ago, we've had people calling us,
good.
Asking about
very
it.
Nice.
So it's a hot ticket.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we want the place to be full. The joint will be jumping because we'll have a good time.
Even if you don't want to see the show, just come out to see the lobby and the theater.
Right.
It's
right.
that
right,
good.
Right, right,
right. That'll blow you away.
Yeah, it really will. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. And again, this is not some show that is going to offend you. I mean, there's adult jokes and things, but we try to keep this as clean as possible.
Yeah.
Now, John's got a problem, but
yes.
we try to keep this as clean as possible. And so it's a show. I'm not suggesting you bring your 9-year-old to the show, but you come out with your adult kids or even your teenagers, and they're going to have a good time as well.
And we're done by 8 o'clock. Come on.
So you're going to keep it clean? You're not going to do the political roundup then?
No, no,
year
no, no,
in review.
Well, this is the only downside. Now, you may know this, but if you don't, if Trump wins, I'm probably going to get deported. So we're going to need a satellite hookup because I believe I'll be one of the first to be thrown out of America. So been a little hard on Donnie.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, all right. So, again, Tivoli.com for all things related
classic
to your company.
Classic Cinemas.
Classic Cinemas. I'm sorry.
Yes,
ClassicCinemas.com for all things related, not just
all
to the Tivoli, but everything.
All things related, free Halloween shows we have coming up for kids, any event, including the WGN Comedy Show, ClassicCinemas.com.
By the way, I want to mention this, too. This is an accommodation made by us to some extent, but for the people in and around the Tivoli who go, hold on. I've got a tradition. I always go to a movie on New Year's Eve at the Tivoli. You're still going to do that.
That's right. We're still going to do that. We're going to squeeze that in somehow.
Yeah, so later in
it'll
the evening.
It'll be playing while we're on stage.
Yeah, so you and I do the live
yes.
action?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Hope there's no romantic scenes. and thank you. That's all. Just thank you.
We love having you. It'll be great. New Year's Eve can't come fast enough.
Steve Cochran, New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight. Again, classiccinemas.com and follow
right,
the links.
Right, and Iceman Production.
And Iceman Production. That's thanks right. for that. 924. We're back after this on 720 WGN. WGN 928, everybody talking about Saturday Night Live like the rest of us, regardless of it being... the potential end of America with these two candidates in this S show that this campaign has turned into.
The silly show?
That's the word I think I'm looking for. Saturday Night Live has had some great moments. Here's something from this past Saturday, in case you missed it or haven't rolled it yet.
Mr. Trump, we received a lot of questions online about the audio tape that was released last week of you bragging about sexually assaulting women.
Listen, what I said is nothing compared to what Bill Clinton has done, okay? He has abused women and Martha. Anderson, hold on to your nips and your nuts. Because four of those women are here tonight, four of them.
Wait, I'm sorry, who's here? Mistresses? Bill, how could you? How will I go on with the debate? No, I'll never be able to remember my facts and figures now. Oh, Donald, no! Get real. I'm made of steel. This is nothing. Hi, girls.
Martha, she is trying to silence these women, but they need to be respected. They need their voices heard.
What about all the women accusing you of sexual assault?
They need to shut the hell up.
A little bit of a take on the debate from Saturday night. Now, what you may not have seen was John Oliver last night on HBO. Last Week Tonight is a very funny show. And John Oliver actually handles the third-party candidates. Remember when I endorsed Gary Johnson? Remember how funny that was?
You were punking us.
Yeah. Remember when I thought that was really great?
And
then when I found out Gary Johnson didn't know a lot of stuff?
And then you said, who's Gary Johnson?
Oh, boy. This isn't necessarily Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. There's a lot of people that want in.
There are a great many third-party options out there. There's Jim Hedges of the Prohibition Party, the worst party without alcohol since your born-again cousin's wedding. There's Dan Vaycheck of the Legal Marijuana Now Party, which should really be called the Illegal Marijuana Now, Legal Marijuana ASAP Party. And then there's independent writing candidate Joe Exotic, who claims to run the world's largest private zoo for tigers and produces incredible campaign videos.
First thing is, I am not cutting my hair. I'm not changing the way I dress. I refuse to wear a suit. I am gay. I've had two boyfriends most of my life. I am broke as shit. I have a judgment against me from some down there in Florida. And this is all paid for by the committee of Joe Exotic Speaks for America.
Wow. Just wow. Joe Exotic is truly the candidate you'd want to sit down and have a beer with, then another beer, and then several more beers until you're drunk enough to try meth for the first time. The point is, Joe Exotic, make America exotic again.
By the way, the Last Week Tonight reruns, about 47 times between Sunday night and the following Sunday. I highly recommend it. 9:31, big story coming up next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
9:43. Hi to the family from Gibson Electric and Technology Solutions. They were at the Chip In for Autism event the other day. Very nice folks, regular listeners, and generous as well. Speaking of great people and friends, Mary and Joy's Into the Woods is coming up. We'll talk about that in a second, but first let me introduce to you Kathleen Yosko. Kathleen and I have known each other for a long time. What's your title now? It's got to be something fancy.
It's President.
President Yosko.
Mary and Joy. Yes.
I would like to nominate you for President of the United States and endorse you as well.
I don't know if I'd take that challenge or not right now. But
I think you got a better gig right now.
Thanks for the confidence.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. How have you been?
I've been great. Lots happening at Mary and Joy. I'd like to tell you about
it. Yeah. Give me a little bit of that. What are you guys doing? Because I know the level of expertise at the facility. I've toured it with you many times. Mm-hmm. You have great people who seem to be very happy to work there. And you can truly change lives.
It's always a compassionate, caring spirit we have. Well, our excitement is after 40-some years being sponsored by the Wheaton Franciscan Sisters, we became part of Northwestern Medicine as of March 1 of this year.
Right.
And it's just an exciting time for us because it affords us a lot of opportunities for research and education, while at the same time allowing us to maintain that compassionate, caring spirit that you've experienced yourself.
So the resources that are available because of Northwestern Medicine's reach are probably pretty extensive, huh?
Huge, huge. Innovation, you name it. And we're very excited to be part of their post-acute network, while still maintaining our friendships and relationships with other referral sources.
Yeah, for people that go, well, I know Mary and Joy, are they going to be too big for their britches now? What do you say to them?
No, I think that one of the things we're maintaining is the culture. And, you know, the sisters did a lot of due diligence about this, and they had a process of prayer and discernment. And I think they picked the best organization for us for the future.
Andre Darla, say hi to Kathleen.
Kathleen, love the programs. In fact, when I'm out in DuPage County playing in some of the golf courses, there's a group of Mary and Joy patients rehabbing, playing golf. They hit the ball farther than I do, Steve. But I love the programs that you offer as well. Yeah. Talk about some of those where you can actually leave the facility and participate in these events like golf.
Well, we have a program, I think the one you're talking about, for disabled golfers, people who have either had accident or illness or injury, rehabbed at Mary and Joy or some other place. And it's really part of, you know, recreation is so much part of rehabilitation too. So we get them going again in the game of their choosing there. So
the event coming up, Into the Woods, is a significant fundraiser, but the work to make sure the place is properly funded doesn't end in one night. I mean, that goes on all year long.
No. In fact, September 14th, we were so excited. We were gifted by the Telebs Foundation and a good friend of ours, Mike Burke, and his wife, Kay, and son, Chris, gifted us $2.5 million, and we opened the Center for Neuro Rehab and Neuro...
That is a good friend.
And neuroplasticity, yeah. It wasn't just something we asked for. It was kind of a strange kind of a bequest, because knowing Mike, and he passed away over a year ago now, he said, do you have a game changer, Kathleen? And so my great clinicians and staff came up with this idea, which is really, you know, this new technology. Rehab's always been high touch, but now with the technology that's available to assist and support therapists, it's phenomenal, and it's helping the brain relearn new pathways, things that we didn't think was possible before.
So who would, you mentioned a particular term I'm not familiar with, the neurological patients in general, or somebody specific that benefits most from this?
I think a variety of patients. more specifically neurological patients, stroke and brain injury, but we're finding a lot of good work is happening with other patients and other disabilities. People who haven't progressed in the past are showing with this technology, exoskeletons, things that you'd have to see pictures of to understand, but it's really becoming an assist to therapists and to physicians to really aid them in their treatment and care.
Since so much of rehab can be physically maneuvering body parts and things to mm-hmm. get them working in the same order again, how's technology changed in that regard?
Oh, the last 7 to 10 years, it's been phenomenal what's happened here. Devices that alleviate the force of gravity on the body, allow upper mobility extremities, and it's really machines that before a therapist could move a patient through a certain range of motion, but now they can actually measure it with this equipment. And I think it's like anything else. When you attend to something on a computer or you attend to something that you're seeing on a screen, you pay more attention than somebody just saying, move this or stand up.
Yeah, when the last time I was at your place, somebody was trying to explain body mapping to me, and it was a process of body mapping, and then the patient could actually visualize their body was able to do and how to take it to the next level. And I said, listen, I'm just another pretty face. You're beyond me already. But it was cool because I think about it in terms of, you know, we're talking about golf, in terms of a golf swing. Mm-hmm. You can have somebody standing next to you and go, no, do this, do this. Well, when you see yourself going through that, maybe you can take it to the next level, which is a really big deal if you're rehabbing, I would suppose.
And we have, you know, we even have technology now that allows like a virtual reality for patients. So they see themselves moving, and then the machine is also giving them cues too.
And that's great.
It's amazing, and grateful thanks to the Telebs Foundation and his family for allowing us this. And, you know, it'll support that compassionate care that we've become so known for.
I've had the pleasure to be at your big fundraisers many times and hosted the auction several times, but it's a silent auction. There's gaming. And specifically, why is the theme Into the Woods this year?
Well, we have a great committee, and they came up with it, so we have lots of surprises. As you know, our galas are not boring speeches and just a good meal. We'll have all of that and then some. I think it was a matter of, you know, giving, in a way, a happy ending to something that is so near and dear to us. The monies raised this year will go for pediatric rehabilitation and also to continue to advance the technology. The technology is not inexpensive, so we constantly need to renew ourselves. So
there, one of the things they're going to be doing that night is the Cover Girls violin show. Do you know about these?
Oh, yeah. Remember we had them in for Christmas last year?
They're unbelievable.
They were so great.
They are.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And have played with CeeLo Green and Rod Stewart and Peter Gabriel and Kristen Chenoweth and Barry Manilow and Aretha Franklin, and I haven't. So they're very impressive group.
Yeah.
So nicely done. Are there any tickets left?
Oh, there are tickets left, yeah. And you could visit our website at MaryAndJoyFoundation.org for those tickets. And it's November the 5th and Embassy Suites in Naperville.
Give me the website again, MaryAndJoyFoundation.org. Okay, MaryAndJoyFoundation.org. It's a great party.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. We enjoy having fun with you there.
I highly recommend it, and a fine night.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
It's very good to see you. Thank you for inviting me.
Before you go, though, I want to remind folks one thing that you taught me a long time ago, and that is if you're ever in need of physical therapy at the highest level, a lot of people don't know when they're at their doctor's office because a doctor might recommend a facility to you. Okay. It doesn't mean that that's the facility you would necessarily have to go to. So choose Mary and Joy.
Choose Mary and Joy, yes.
I think it's important that patients know that, right? Because a lot of folks don't.
Well, we have a lot of good ambassadors out there that talk about our programs. So, you know, we're confident in what we do, from the simplest of disabilities for adults and children to the most complex. We can manage you.
Well done by you. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you're working with the less egomaniacal Brady, young John Brady. You know, if Pat were here, he'd be all over the microphone. John's going, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Maybe it's personal. It's 9:51. We're back after this on 720 WGN. John, John DeCosta, are you still doing your YouTube channel?
Yes.
And what's the YouTube address?
Today Into Cause.
Today Into Cause.
Yeah, actually, I have, I think, 4 or 5 videos that have to be posted.
Okay.
So
check it out all the time. We're trying to make John a big enough YouTube star that he leaves the show, but no luck so far.
It's been a year?
Here's an update on the campaign leading into the debate on Wednesday night, the final debate. Trump is continuing to attack Paul Ryan. It's That seemed like a great idea. Same party. Elizabeth Warren says, Trump words don't make me sick anymore. They make me furious. Elizabeth Warren, I'd like to be trapped in an elevator with her. She's a little frightening too, huh? And along with Trump beating up on Paul Ryan, he continues to mock the women who claim to be victims of his sexual pursuits. And over the weekend, in a couple of speeches, said, really on numerous occasions, oh, yeah, you seen pictures of them? You think I'd pick them?
Yeah, not.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president. Mike Pence says they will accept the election results. Trump's not so sure. The reason that's a big deal, kids, is because the peaceful transfer of power is not just an American tradition. It's a necessity in the world's greatest democracy.
Amen.
And when you start firing up your nutty followers to go ahead and arm themselves and start monitoring voting places, monitoring meaning intimidating people are coming in to vote, that's not going to work.
Do you see any situation that if Hillary Clinton wins, he actually extends the olive branch and congratulates her and takes the... I'm sorry.
That's funny. And Rudy Giuliani says that the Chicago election will certainly be fixed. Because Rudy Giuliani and Jumping the Shark apparently thinks it's 1960 and Joe Kennedy's on the other line. So that's some of what's going on. Hillary Clinton, look, as much as I hate WikiLeaks and as much as I hate the fact that they steal email, there's a lot that needs to be answered for within those emails that's already been exposed. And if Trump would focus on that and not his tiny ego and his constant need for affirmation... Yeah, it's not the only thing that's tiny. Then he might be able to even still at this late date make the race close. But if you're a Trump supporter, it should make you nuts that all he does is talk about himself and the people that have offended him as opposed to the red meat that Hillary Clinton's throwing up for his consumption. It's 9:57. Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.